This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Hey, it is Long Shots, golf betting podcast here on the VSiN Podcast Network. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, Wes Reynolds coming to you. For the Genesis, we will try to put some winners into your account. I did not put many winners into my account this past week at the Waste Management. Bob McIntyre did about all he could do, and that was about it for me. I had very little chance of making any money on this tournament, and of course, Thomas Dietrich runs off with it and gets it done. Wes, as you kind of started to put your wins and losses together here, winner, loser, somewhere in the middle for you?
Yeah, loser for me. I got some placement markets home. Matt McNeely had a nice round on Saturday and couldn't really keep it going and duplicate that 63, but Thomas Dietrich was much the best of it. And look, I have a little bit of buyer's remorse because I think I've been on him. I think he's had like 8 runner-ups in the last several years combined, mostly on the DP World Tour, but he did have one on the PGA Tour last year. I think I've been on 4 of them over on the DP World Tour. He's just a guy that's never been able to get across the finish line, but had the game, has the talent, and you could see, hey, this guy should win a lot more. And he won in convincing fashion, 24 under par, I believe a 7-shot winner over a couple players tied for second. So he was much the best of it. And you could kind of tell late in Saturday's third round that nobody was going to catch this guy unless he just totally crapped the bed, which he did not on Sunday.
Kelly, not a lot that I'm taking from that tournament to this one. Not a lot of parallels here really at all. I'm just glad that I didn't have to come on here and Jordan Spieth didn't win. As I was leaving the podcast going, yeah, really the only thing that pissed me off is if Jordan Spieth wins. And then he goes out and plays the best golf that he's played in a very long time. I think it is worth noting, I should say. And not that he's really built for Torrey, but I mean, he did have surgery on that wrist that's been bothering him for a long time, and he did play good golf this week. So, we'll check out that sample size. We'll see what's going on with all of that. And the only other thing that we did take away as well, Wes, we talked about this last week, was did Tom Kim actually gain distance in the offseason? And I think the answer is definitively yes. Like, Tom Kim, at one point in this tournament through 3 rounds, was 7th in the tournament driving distance. Like, the dude's pounding at 319 off the tee now, all of a sudden. Like, a guy that we used to like, he's good on positional courses and all this. And now he's like 315 plus off the tee or whatever. So, yeah. I mean, he's young, right? So, I mean, like, young kids can still learn and do things. And
yeah, look, I had him last week, and he was in decent position, just a couple off the lead going in the weekend, and then just absolutely faded. And you know, sometimes that's going to happen. So ended up, I think, with one guy in the top 10 in terms of all of my guys, but not my best event last week at the Waste Management.
Midland, yeah. Midland, how did your card end up?
Screw you. It was bad. I'm getting pretty salty in this golf tournament because the old golf classics are coming already. 2 second place finishes on outrights for me this year. But the past 2 weeks have been extremely frustrating because if you've listened to this podcast for long enough, we talk about how outrights are great, but matchups and finishing position and placement bets are what's going to carry your bankroll over. And the last 2 weeks have been rough when it's come to finishing positions. I have had 4 bets miss out in the last 2 tournaments by 1 shot of cracking inside top 10s, top 20s, top 40s. Last week, Minwoo Lee, 5-1 top 10, 1 shot out of top 10, brutal. And Gary Woodland plus 330. 1 shot outside of the top 20. That was brutal. I also had a first round leader bet come up second. So I'm getting pretty salty. I wish I had those outrights in my back pocket like old Wes Reynolds does, because it's starting to stack up. But you know what, boys? I'm fired up for the Genesis. I'm fired up. Ran the numbers. Some names popped, and I said, I like these names, and I'm going to battle with them.
Well, I can tell you, you had one woo that didn't get home. I had the other woo that didn't get home by a stroke, as I had Siwoo top 20. T21 there for the other woo. So your woo didn't get home. My woo didn't get home. Let's see if we can get a woo home this week. Maybe
I don't know what's especially frustrating about this. Maybe it's happened to you guys more, but I feel like when it usually comes to placement markets, like I either hit or it's really not even all that close. So when you have a couple tournaments in a row where you're like one shot, like, oh my God, that really starts to frustrate you.
All right, so we are off to the Genesis, and normally we would be saying that this was going to be coming to you from Riviera. Normally we'd like to say that Tiger Woods would be there in the field as well. Neither are the case here with this. Tiger did decide to pull out of this event after the loss of his mother, said he's just not emotionally ready to get in with this thing. So no Tiger Woods here this week, and we are going to be playing Torrey South instead after the wildfires over there in Southern California. So, Wes, we were here just a few weeks ago, so we are pretty familiar with what we're going to see. That being said, we have had a little precipitation down there in San Diego, so this course might be a little softer in the greens as well. The rough should probably be as gnarly or more, considering we've had a little precipitation as well, but anything different here with Torrey South than we saw a few weeks ago?
Yeah, look, I was kind of trying to find an equilibrium here in terms of how to handicap this, because, of course, we did hit Harris English at 100-1 at the Farmers 3 weeks ago. But I do think that Torrey's going to play a little bit different, Matt, for what you mentioned, because you did get some weather. So it is going to, you're not going to get that firm and fast like the fairway rollout here. And you're also going to get rough that's going to be a little bit wet, which is going to be tougher to get out of. I don't know if it's going to play easier or harder. I tend to think maybe the scoring is going to be a little bit lower because you do have softer conditions and the approach guys can maybe stick them close on the pins, even though these greens are small, but it's the same dimension. You know, it's probably going to be the same pin, setup, with the exception of some pins being adjusted, but 77-65, longest course on the PGA Tour. It is a par 72, very small greens here, about 5,000 square feet, fifth smallest on tour. Fairways are narrow, 28-yard average, fifth narrowest on tour. It is that kind of Kikuyu with the rye overseed, and then the greens are pure POA, and they're fast POA, 12.5 on the stimp, and this is that bumpy California POA, not that smooth POA you play on the East Coast, so it's a little bit bumpier, a little bit different from Pebble Beach too, even though that's bumpy POA, but those greens are much slower. So I'll be interested to see, because this is four rounds, by the way, at Torrey South. There's not a North Course round where you can go low like Ludwig Aubert did when he was first round leader at the Farmers 3 weeks ago, where he went 9 under 63, and then all of a sudden he became ill and then played the South course, which was much more difficult. So the rain and the wind, and it's especially, I think, going to be pronounced Thursday. Friday, it's going to be a little bit more intermittent rain, maybe not as windy. And then Saturday, it looks pretty clear and, you know, partly cloudy, some sun, and then the clouds come in. But yeah, I'm going to be interested to see how this plays. And when we get into our analysis in terms of what we used, I used a lot of the same stuff, but maybe in different, weighting it a little bit differently than I did 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, wind going to kick up. Weather is going to be a bigger factor here than just a couple weeks ago, that's for sure.
I'll put it this way. Here's a hot take for you guys out there. San Diego weather sucks. Everybody's like, oh, San Diego's so great. San Diego's so great. Like, it never gets hot. It's cold in July. Like,
you gotta bring a jacket out. About the weather anywhere.
You gotta bring a jacket in July when you go places and stuff. Like, there's always that fog over the city. Like, you never see the sun for like 7 months out of the year, 8 months out of the year. There's just that gloom that is there over the deal, like the marine layer. I don't know, man. San Diego, highly overrated from a weather standpoint.
It requires a lot of packing, right? Multiple changes, multiple outfit changes. Okay. I'm just leaving this up for you guys to look at the weather, but also my targeted ads, apparently, because, you know, I don't know. I've just been hitting the gym.
Because you bought yourself a squat rack recently.
That's right. Apparently they're trying to get me to buy a squat rack for my one-bedroom place here. Yeah, there'd be a lot of room for that.
I mean, look at that. Look at that squat rack, though. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
It's 21% off as well. So
that's right. Wait, what are those?
Clanging and banging, Kelly Bidlin.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. As a guy who recently hurt his back in the gym, I would not recommend getting a squat rack at home. Just don't do it. No, good call.
Although I was thinking about you when I was doing deadlifts yesterday, where I was like, be careful. Good form here, Kelly.
Exactly.
Good form.
Good form. Don't like have your back pop out like I did. All right, so, Wes, I mean, like you said, it's just, it's Torrey, right? It's long, rough sucks, weather going to be a factor, it looks like, at some point. So that's kind of what we're dealing with here with this one. Kelly,
rough really sucks. This was cool from Ben Griffin. Boop. And ball disappears.
Yeah.
So keep it straight. That's definitely going to be a slight difference from what we saw a couple weeks ago. This is a little bit more major-like conditions. Is that fair to say, boys, what we're dealing with the rough and what they're going to do with this course? As Wes makes an uncomfortable face at me, maybe he thinks I'm full crap.
No, I think okay. It's gonna be this. I think it's gonna be the same. I was looking at a score, and that was my uncomfortable face. But anyway, I think it could play where the scoring maybe even a little bit lower. I could anticipate that. Harris English, by the way, won this 3 weeks ago at 8 under par. Usually at the Farmers, you get somewhere 12 to maybe 15 or 16 under par. So this is going to be softer, but you're not going to get the rollout on the fairways. And I'm just wondering if it's going to play how similar or how dissimilar it's going to play. Because Harris English won this basically with very good approach shots and also very good scrambling. Like he hit like maybe 38% of his fairways and still was able to win this thing because he scrambled well and he hit good second shots. And I don't know if it's going to be like that this week. I don't know if it's going to be more pronounced to the bombers, you know, and the guys that really gain off the tee that have that, you hear that term carry distance, you know, where you're not getting that rollout. And I think that might play more of a factor this week than it did 3 weeks ago.
I guess one thing we should add here is, guys, this is a limited field event, 72 golfers. And while there is a cut, it's the top 50 and anybody within 10 strokes. So in theory, everyone could make it. So we'll see if that's the case, but just keep that in mind whenever you start looking at placement market numbers. If you wonder why the numbers are not quite as juicy as they normally are, again, 72 golfers, 50 make the cut, and anyone within 10 strokes of the lead. So in theory could be the entire field.
Obviously it's a signature event. So the top of the board is stacked with some great golfers I don't really know if you feel that huge difference when you look at top 10s and top 20s, Matt, but I pulled up a top 30 market. I was like, whoa, these are way different. Like, this is a big drop down from what the top 20 odds are.
Yeah. Kelly's got it up. If you're watching this over on YouTube, Scheffler, McIlroy, Morikawa, Justin Thomas, who put together another solid tournament this past week. Fourth on the odds board. Hadn't seen that in quite a while from JT. Hideki Matsuyama, Ludvig Åberg. You've got Patrick Cantlay, Tommy Fleetwood, Sung J.M., Rasmus Højgaard. Those take you all the way through 35-1. Everybody else, 40-1.
He's getting bit.
Or longer. Look at Kelly already clicking on some people over there.
He's getting bit, man. Like, this, every time I look at this number, he keeps going in shorter. As he should be, probably.
Yeah. Everybody else, 40 are longer here in this field. Of course, no Xander Schauffele, not ready to make it back from his injury. So, that's why you're not seeing him at the top of the leaderboard.
Why I'm not winning any money. That's what I'm blaming it on.
Because you just bet Xander every week?
I just did Xander top 10 like every week pretty much.
All right, Wes. So let's go ahead. Let's head to our modeling here. And again, guys, the reminder, if you're just now finding us, we do not model ourselves. We do not make these models. We do not code these models. These are the hard work of other people out there that do some really cool stuff with giving you the shell, the skeleton. You go in, you plug in the information, you weight that information, and then it spits out the results for you or whatever. So just always a disclaimer, because I know people go, are you coding that? We're like, no, I don't code. I don't code. I've never coded. I don't know how to code anything. So there you go.
Here would be my last 24-round model over at rickrungood.com. Rick Gaiman always doing great content, great work. So just to give you a sample of what Matt's talking about.
All right, Wes, what'd you throw in this week?
Yeah, and by the way, in my article up at VSiN.com, I always put recent history in there and guys that have won this event. And I included both the Genesis, which, of course, all of them were played at Riviera, Hideki Matsuyama, by the way, the defending champion of this event, but also the Farmers I put in there just to give context. Now, I don't think this week, and look, I tend to value course history a little bit more on a week-to-week basis, but this week it is very hard to do it because of what you mentioned earlier, Matt, not only the weather, but also this is a signature event. A perfect example, we saw 2 weeks ago at Pebble Beach, Rory McIlroy didn't really have a lot of history at Pebble Beach. Looked pretty darn good on Sunday as he pulled away from Lowry and the rest of the bunch. So you don't want to put too much into course history. That doesn't mean there aren't horses for courses at Torrey Pines. There certainly are, but don't want to put too much into that. So in terms of like what I used from a stats standpoint, it was basically the same, just might value some things differently. I use total driving here because I think the driving accuracy look is very low, but You want to look, I think, at the total driving. You can maybe go a little bit more distance if you want, or strokes gained off the tee, but I went total driving, which is distance rank plus accuracy rank this week. It worked for me last time with Harris English. Maybe it'll work again. Looked a little bit at ball striking as well, which is total driving plus greens and regulation rank, because these greens, fifth smallest on tour, 5,000 square foot average. So you're going to want to hit greens here, even if you're far away, you know, and leave yourself with at least a comfortable two putt. Scrambling, I think, is going to be important. And Harris English, by the way, won this event scrambling 3 weeks ago. I think he was 22 out of 26, about 85% getting up and down. So scrambling's still going to be important. And it's not short grass around these greens either. It's thick grass, which could play into one guy that I have on my card this week. Used approach, I think, of course, you have to. If you look at the Farmers, Harris English, Sam Stevens, Andrew Novak were 1, 2, 3 in terms of their finish. And they were 4th, 3rd, and 7th, respectively, in the field for strokes gained approach. So I think you got to look at approach, and especially proximity from like 200 yards and out, because the plurality is going to come. So a lot of long irons, I think, this week with a 7,800 yard some course. Strokes gained putting POA over the last 50 rounds, I think that's always good to look at, because some guys really putt these greens well and some guys putt terribly. So that's good to look at. Bogey avoidance is something I looked at. Strokes gained par fives, because these are those are the birdie holes here. There's not a ton of birdie holes necessarily. Not saying you can't make them, but there's not a ton out here. So I think you want to look at how these guys do on the par fives.
Kelly, what popped for you?
Yeah, this is a fair amount. I mean, look, we already, we talked about this. I basically carried over my same model from a couple weeks ago, made a couple small tweaks, but, look, like we talked about earlier, everything off the tee important here, especially distance. But I do think that rough's going to be a little bit longer this week. So accuracy, a premium, these are tighter fairways. We did talk about a couple weeks ago, hey, it's not as penal if you hit into the rough here. I think that's going to be a little bit more of a big deal this week, especially if weather, pops up. So I think you're looking for everything off the tee, distance and accuracy. Approach, Wes, I think you hit on the proximity buckets, but 175 plus, 200 plus, I think those are important distances to look at. These are going to be long irons. Got to get long off the tee, long irons, and especially if we're seeing wind and rain. We talk about this a lot, just even that distance off the tee giving you that advantage of hitting a higher lofted wedge or iron into the greens and these small greens, that's important. Like you talked about, Wes, scrambling and around the green play, man, we talked about it leading into that tournament a couple weeks ago, which you hit a winner on, and I think coming out of that tournament we're looking at it as just as important, if not more. Again, if we are dealing with some tough conditions here, I think it makes it even worse. So that bogey avoidance, putting on POA, a lot of the stuff that Wes mentioned.
Yeah, I look at this and I'm kind of like, you know, I don't know. I just went super heavy off the tee. I actually think that, I think we're to a point where this course, if this really is going to play like we think, that you're going to want to be further down there. I think that you're just going to want to. So I strokes gained off the tee, strokes gained, you know, distance. I kind of like tripled up almost on distance. I did just straight distance also with total driving, the little good drive percentage and stuff in there as well. So that was another thing for me that I kind of threw in there. I mean, there's, excuse me.
Bless you.
Dude, the wind here, just like the last few days, just unbelievable.
It's kicking up the sand, man. Yeah,
I know. It's just like, dude, the wind is just absolutely brutal. For me, I'll live and die by the distance at this course. If it ends up not being a thing, then, you know, kind of so be it. I think the other thing that's just so weird about Torrey in general is if that wind does get up to what we're doing, I mean, like we saw even 3 weeks ago that guys that were playing very, very well, then the wind kicked up and played like ass. And then some of the guys that were playing just okay when the weather got bad, they just played better than the other guys that were playing badly. And so then you have to kind of start to factor in the what ifs. Well, yeah. What if this does this? And what if whatever, you know, which does make it an incredibly hard handicap. But at the same time, that's what makes this course interesting, you know, and what makes this course fun. So yeah. That's kind of where I'm at. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I will say, I'm glad you brought that up, because this, I've got a fair amount of bets this week. I dialed back just slightly, though, pre-tournament bet size of what I'm doing on everything. Just, I mean, I think it was a good reminder a couple weeks ago where we saw guys catch bad ends of the draw and it basically just ruined mm-hmm. their tournaments. And, I mean, honestly, the weather looks like it could be more of a factor this week. So it did make me dial back a little bit more than I was comfortable doing. I don't like doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just for me, I'm going to stick with the model this week because my gut feeling last week was Max Homa, who was even though there was only 150 or whatever, he was T214 in the tournament last week.
It included me.
Yeah, like I'm sitting here like going like, yeah, I don't normally do this. Like I kind of like, you know, but it's something about Max Homa, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he was like last. So, I mean, like I'm done with that. We're not doing that anymore. So I'm just going to go with the model, see what it says. And I put in the different scoring condition stuff and like ran different versions of all of that too, to put in super tough scoring conditions, windy, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, we'll kind of see if we can't hodgepodge all of this stuff together here. So, Wes, kick us off here, my friend. What does your betting card look like?
Yeah, and you know, at the top, of course, when we run modeling, you know, because of the stats, Scottie Scheffler is always going to come number one.
Yes,
but
yeah, every time.
But
he didn't for me in a couple, fellas.
And I was going to say he came up at number one. But if you ask me who I would rather have of the top two, where I think there's a clear top two in this event and really in the betting market in general right now on the PGA Tour, Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy, I would prefer Rory McIlroy this week to Scottie Scheffler. I may end up betting him as an underdog in the matchup this week just because, look, Scottie Scheffler's not going away, but we got to keep in mind that he had a historic ball striking season. And as good as he is, that is so hard to duplicate. So maybe he comes back to earth and only wins like three or four times this year, but he's still going to win. But I would prefer Rory just because I think Rory has a little bit of a better history here. He's confident. He's off a win his last time out. So, you know, maybe we are going to get the year of the Rory. We always anticipate that and maybe never get it, but that doesn't mean it can't happen. But I would prefer Rory over Scotty. However, I did not play either of those on my card this week. May use that matchup, though. I started with Colin Morikawa at 18-1, who withdrew from the Farmers here at Torrey Pines 3 weeks ago because I think it got out. You know, I know our buddy Rick Gaiman kind of put that out there, and then it eventually got confirmed that Torrey's going to host the Genesis this year. So he's like, well, I'm going to play this in a couple weeks. Why do I need to play this bear of a course twice where it's a long ass walk at 7,800 yards? Like, guys are physically exhausted, and especially after wind and rain this week, they might be early on. Morikawa leads the tour in approach right now, leading in bogey avoidance, ranks near the top in ball striking and scrambling. You know, not super, super long off the tee, but he is so good on those long irons. That proximity we were talking about, 200 or more. Even bombers off the tee are going to have long irons on their approaches, and this guy's one of the best, and I think his approach game is starting to come back, and that's his bread and butter. So Colin Morikawa, 18-1. Taylor Pendrith, not a great number. This got hit, which worries me that this is so popular, but I use him 40-1. Two straight top tens, T9 at Torrey, second for strokes gained tee to green, fifth for ball striking, fifth for distance, sixth for strokes gained OTT. Also was another top 10 at Pebble. We're combined those two. He was second in GIR and third for off the tee and fifth in total driving. I think Pendrith could go well again. And a guy that's gone well a few times here, even though he didn't 3 weeks ago. This is where I am going to go a little horse or curse. I went Tony Finau at 50-1. He's finished ninth or better six of the last 9 years and six or better five times. He's done everything but win here and has had low rounds on the South Course before as well. So he actually played the South Course starting at the Farmers because it was a Wednesday, Saturday instead of Thursday, Sunday. Played the South Course on Wednesday, so that's a tougher end of the draw. And then he got to the easier end, North Course, and then the winds really picked up. So he was a bad draw bias that Kelly mentioned earlier. Some of these guys got caught up in 20-1 3 weeks ago because of his history here. And now he's over double the price this week. I think that carry distance off the tee is really going to help Finau. So Finau 50-1. And then I'm going with a couple guys that I'm kind of going with hunches. It's the model's not really telling me about these guys because they're not in great form recently. But Victor Hovland, 55-1, runner up here at Torrey in 2021. It's a bit of a flyer, but he's strong off the tee in these elevated events and especially on more difficult courses. If you look at his track record around the green, I mentioned this earlier, that's the weakness in his game. He's a better chipper out of thick grasses than he is the short grass. So I think that chipping is not as much of a weakness this week as it is on a week-to-week basis. So Vic Hovland, 55-1. Once again, he did change his swing coach. So you're wondering when he's ever going to find somebody and stick with him. I hope he does sooner rather than later, because I think he's a really talented player, and I'd hate to see him waste that at this point of his career. Cameron Young, 70-1. If Thomas Detry finally got there and I didn't chase him, maybe another guy that I've chased over the years to get that first win. Cameron Young, 70-1. He shot 74 in the opening round last week at the Waste Management in Phoenix, but yet he was 64, 66, and 67 over the final 54 holes. T12, second in distance, fourth in putting last week, big game off the tee. I think he could go well this week. Would not be surprised to see Cameron Young in contention. And then Wyndham Clark, 80-1. He was the first round leader last week before he settled for a T16. He's won twice in California, the 03 US Open, where I wasn't on him. I was on Rory McIlroy, but then I got it back with him at the 2024 Pebble Beach, where I did the rain dance after 54 holes, where he shot 60 on Sunday. And those are on Poa Green. So he has won in California, really good off the tee, very good with the long irons. I think Wyndham Clark can go very well here this week at 80-1.
Wes, if Cam Young wins this week, how far down will you still be on him, Betty? if he wins this week,
I may break even with this price, because I bet him at shorter and have had a couple runner ups with this guy. And, you know, so we all have those players that we kind of chase it
for sure.
And Cameron Young has been one of those for me, and just has not been able to get there. But now he's drifted up a little bit. A couple of these guys that I took this week were like price drifts. You know, like Cameron Young, like Victor Hovland. It's like I'm getting Victor Hovland at well over 50-1. I know he's not in good form, but he's too good of a player, I think, to be that price. And I know some people are maybe going that way with Cantlay as well, now that you're seeing mid-30s, even though he has been in, I think, pretty lousy form over the last few months.
Yeah, I wonder. I do wonder about his overall. It's like a different deal with some of these guys. It's like Cantlay's older. You know, like you tell me that some of these other guys are like getting back into form, I'm like, okay, I can get there. But I don't know. Cantlay is not one of the ones that jumps off the page to me. I just can't quite do it. Kelly, what about you, my friend? Where did you end up?
He's not cat. As always, head over to VSiN.com to read Wes Reynolds' article weekly up there right now. So go check it out and find all our plays there after we get done with this podcast.
Did you know that VSiN uses cookies to ensure that you receive the best experience on our website?
Sorry, I missed that click for you, Matt. Sorry about that.
No worries.
All right, where did I end up this week? All right, I started with Mr. Morikawa. No surprise to anybody out there who has listened to this podcast regularly. But sorry for the very fancy graphics. I'm still working on that, but I'm going to go with a doc for this purposes right now.
Okay.
So Morikawa, I'm in on outright on him. I'm right there with you, Wes. I mean, look, we haven't seen him much this season, but T17 at Pebble, second at the Century, four strokes gained in the field at Torrey Pines over his years here. He plays these tough courses. Great, as you said, he might not be the longest guy off the tee, but the long iron game's strong. Around the green is good enough. Scrambling is good enough. Look, the putter, as we're going to say with so many of these guys, putter gets hot. I think he's right in play. Like him for a top 10 bet. I don't know why Circa's top 10s are down right now, so that's why that bet has not been entered yet. That bet has not been entered, but I will be playing a top 10 on Morikawa along with the outright price. I'm going back to Ludwig. I'm a little bit surprised here, fellas. This is a little bit more of a price play for me. Just the drift on his number from where we saw him at. I haven't read much. I mean, maybe he's still dealing with effects of this illness, but man, it feels like it's been a couple weeks now. Sure feels like he'd have enough time to get over this, and you're catching him at 28-1, where I feel like he should be priced 20-1 or
so. He scares me more than any other player this week, because I was so debating, because it's like, I think he's going to be over that illness. You know, he hasn't, except for the first round at Torrey 3 weeks ago, he hasn't really looked great yet, but you feel like maybe he's getting a little bit ignored, and he's the one that worries me the most that I did not bet this week.
I'll go ahead and just add to the commentary here. One of my first outrights was Ludwig this week as well, so he is on my he is on mine, just for everyone to know. And Kelly, I can't say for certain. I don't know for certain. I think he no longer has the runs. So, like, I think that, like,
it's been a couple weeks. Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's, I think for sure he's gotten over the runs. So I think we're okay.
Yeah, so that was a little bit more of a price play for me, but I mean, look, we talked about it just a couple weeks ago. This is, I mean, course and how it should fit for a player's profile. I mean, Ludvig should be a perfect fit here. So I love that outright price. Played a top 20 on him as well. And then look, a couple of outrights that I threw in there. Daniel Berger, I'm just not missing out on this that first win, and he is. You know, we kind of talked about this, you know, with Tom Kim a couple weeks ago, right, Matt? Where I'm like, you go and look at his results. Results recently, I don't know that I'm going to be loaded up on a top 20 or anything on the guy, but I'm going to shoot for it outright. Yeah. Maybe he's in play like we saw last week right at the end, or he's probably not going to do all that well. So, yeah, go ahead, Wes.
Well, I was going to say this could be a good omen this week for Daniel Berger because number one in total driving, granted it was a short sample size here in 2025 at the Farmers 3 weeks ago heading into that event was one Harris English, who ended up getting home number one in this week's field, one Daniel Berger. And it, just to add, and I'll let you continue, Berger's going to be on a lot of my cards when we get to the Florida swing. And yeah, I know the odds are going to drift downwards, you know, and shift downwards, but I'm going to be playing him at the Valspar. I'm going to be playing him at Bay Hill. I'm going to be playing him at the PGA Honda. National. Yeah, he's going to be all over. He's going to get a win, I think, really, really soon.
Are we still the Cognizant Classic there?
I believe so.
That's still hanging on?
Yes, the Cognizant Classic at Palm Beach. But yeah, he's going to be all over the Florida swing come March for me.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm with you. I'm going to take a stab with him early, but I'm with you. I'll probably be betting him a lot coming up if he keeps swinging it like he is right now. Back to Gary. I ain't quitting Gary Woodland. He keeps putting up impressive-ass finishes all year long. I mean, his season so far, T21 at Waste Management. Yes, that cost me money because I had a top 20 on him. T22 at Pebble. Yes, I cost me money because I had a top 20 on him, but whatever. T16 at the Sony. Woodland, man, wait, just last 24 rounds. I mean, you're talking top couple guys off the tee when it comes to distance. Top 20 approach player, top 30 in par 5 scoring, 15th in bogey avoidance. I need him to keep it straight off the tee, make some putts, but when you're talking 120-1 and I can get plus 260 on a top 20 price, I ain't backing off Gary Woodland just yet. I do think we are seeing a rebound from a major winner in the past, and I expected play to keep continuing. So that's my outright card. Top 10, I mentioned on Morikawa. I'm going back to Minwoo Lee again this week. I just missed out on cashing that last week. It was a longer price last week. I think this course, though, we know he's a weird guy because we often talk about how many guys we focus on that are just so heavy, good approach players that it's the one kind of weakness of his game. He had to put up some decent numbers heading into last week, drifted a little bit back on his approach numbers, but off the tee, he's great. Scrambling, he's great. And if that's going to be so important here, I'm still going to go bet on the high-end finish from a Minwoo Lee and see what he does this season because I really think he's a breakout waiting to happen this season on the PGA Tour. So top 10 on him. I'm not going full outright, but I'll go a top 10 on him. Then top 20 card, I brought up Ludvig already, brought up Woodland already. I'm going back to Shane Lowry again, Matt. I don't know if you felt the same way, but bet him here a few weeks ago. He was one of those guys who got kind of caught up in the bad wave nonsense. Still played the South course well. So I'm going to play just a top 20 on him this week. Didn't play the outright. He's also a guy, if the weather gets bad, I can trust playing in bad weather. So Lowry, top 20 price for me. On him plus 115. And then Adam Scott, not as big on. I know we've all kind of bet him at different points this year. I don't know it. I feel like he's just flirting with all of us and not really cashing us too many tickets so far. But I'll go to a top 20 on Adam Scott. He is, well, T10 here, 2021, second in 2019, good course history here, T22 at Pebble, T37 at Dubai, T15 at the Century for his tournament so far. Rates out well for me, continuing to, basically dating back to like last June, July, rates out very high for me. And then Fleetwood, I wasn't running to go back to Fleetwood here, but I thought in the top English market, he was a good play there at plus money. So bet him at plus 125 to be the top Englishman in the group.
Yeah, so interesting that we had kind of different takes on this, but ended up on a lot of the same guys, not necessarily in the same fashion. Like I said, so I have Ludvig as an outright. I have Shane Lowry as an outright. Shane Lowry was, let's see, Shane Lowry was fourth in that model. Shane Lowry was third in that model, and he was eighth in that one. So top 10 in every version of everything that I ran with Lowry. And then, like I said, I mean, we have a recent body of work for him, you know, here on Lowry as well, right? Where we've seen him play very, very well. I mean, the weather got really bad at Pebble, and he played good. Like, he played really, really well, even though the weather got terrible there. So I'll go back to the well here with Lowry. Same deal here, Wes, for me. I have a Victor ticket, and I look at Hovland here, and so what I did for a couple of these was I went back and ran longer form stuff to say, like, okay, what if these dudes, like I said, younger dudes, Vic Hovland, though, you know, these, some of these dudes that aren't like old, that I think might actually still be able to change, you know, what they're doing in whatever. I ran one model and it went Scotty, Rory, and then Victor. It was just, you know, again, it's like a longer term model, and I'm looking at like some results, obviously, that aren't close to, for that for Victor, but I'm going to go ahead and take the chance here and try to catch him on the upswing. I think that there's a lot here to like about kind of the stat profile. Kelly's got pulled up right now. Like, you know, you start to see a little bit of that approach stuff coming back there at Pebble. That's okay. Look, he's never going to be good around the green, but hopefully if this stuff is a little bit wetter around there too, that like maybe he'll hold these greens a little bit better. Maybe he'll stick them. And so I did play Victor as well. My last outright that I have in the account currently, and then we'll talk about three other guys, all three of which have been mentioned here on the podcast that I have in the little maybe bucket. Sam Stevens is my last one. Sam Stevens inside the top 12 in most of the different versions of the model that I ran. And so given the odds that are attached to him, he was a play for me, considering how high that he was showing up in the model. I mean, you can find him out there as high as, you know, 85, 90 to one, something like that in the market for Sam Stevens. And if he's inside the top 12 at those odds, he's going to get a play from me.
Shit, I might need to add him too. You're right. He rated out really high for me. He was top 15 in a couple that I ran. I didn't really end up considering him all that much, but I'm just looking at where he's popped up now. And you're right. He's right up there for me.
Bob McIntyre, going back to the well here, is a top 20 for him. I don't have him in the outright market in this tournament in particular. Really strong field. I think he can contend though. And what, so top 20, you're getting plus money still, even though it's only a 72 person field, still getting plus 130 on him in the top 20. So went back to Bob McIntyre in that market. And then two head to heads that I have in the account. I have Lowry over Day and I have Finau over Zalatoris. So, those are the two head to heads that I have in the account. Lowry over Day, Finau over Zalatoris. Now, the three in the maybe bucket here are three different guys that have been mentioned on the podcast. Tony Finau, Tommy Fleetwood, and Taylor Pendrith. All three ranked ridiculously high in the models for me. We know Fleetwood. We know the deal with him. Win equity might be zero. Like, just can't seem to get across the finish line. We know the deal with Tony Finau. Hadn't really played four really good rounds in quite a while. Hasn't really put a full tournament together, but we know the skill set is there for him. And then the deal with Pendrith is, can he really win in a field this strong? It's really the only thing that you're asking yourself with a guy like him. And so those are all kind of in the maybe bucket. I'm certainly going to play one of them. Doubt I play all three of them, but I just want to throw it out there. Finau, Fleetwood, Pendrith, all guys that rated ridiculously high for me in various models, various forms of the model, various time frames of the model as well. So guys that I do think just fit this event very, very well are going to end up on the card some way, shape, or form.
Yep, I like all those right there. Yep, I mean, I can't argue with any of those names. Yeah, like Wes talked about, Finau with the tournament experience here. I mean, you can't knock that at all.
There's a lot of, if you look at the guys in kind of that second tier, maybe middle-ish of the market, anywhere from 25 to 1 to like 50 to 1, there's a lot of winless droughts in there with the Cantlays and the Finaus and obviously the Fleetwoods, Victor Hovland. It's been a minute, so you're getting a lot of these guys that just Justin Thomas, even though he's being, and that win probably is coming, to be fair. But Sungjae Im, there's another guy. He hadn't won in a while. And look, he's a guy that disappoints me a little bit. It's like, I'm not getting the results out of betting this guy. It seems like he's going to be the fit, and I just don't get the results. And then, of course, you know, Spieth had his best finish in Phoenix last week since, I think, the century in 2024, where he was like T4. But Spieth's still coming back from an injury. So you get a lot of those winless droughts in this middle of the market, but yet you don't see a lot of the discounts. You're starting to see it, I think, a little bit on Cantlay. But some of these guys, like Morikawa, who I have on the card this week, it's been a while since he's won. What, the 2023 Zozo, I think, was his last PGA Tour win. So, yeah, you don't get a lot of the discounts with some of these guys in that second, third tier on the board.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't want to argue with the model this week, which is why I'm going to end up putting one of these guys, or at least a couple of them, back on the card. But it's like you start to look at, like, again, like Finau. He hadn't been green across the board. Guys, when we say green across the board, like off the tee approach, around the green, putting, tee to green. Like when we look at these stats for a tournament, he hadn't been green across the board since June of 2024, right? Like, I mean, like he hadn't, he has been bad in at least one aspect of golf in every tournament since June, you know, of 2024. And it's just like, it doesn't seem like he can put something complete together. And so those are just the little things for me that, it was the U.S. Open, so that was a good one to definitely be good at. But, I mean, you can see he hasn't
been. How the hell did he finish T13 at home with this? Holy hell.
Yeah. Right? Look at that.
Terrible on approach, tee to green, awful. Wow. It was a quality around the green and putting week for Tony Finau. Okay.
He always has one thing that goes wrong, though, like Matt was saying. Yeah. He never quite puts it all together.
And Wes, I'm with you on Rory this week. I think that he and Scotty, until we kind of see that Scotty's definitely 100% back, like from this time off in the injury, I think they're like a little bit closer maybe than the odds dictate here. That being said, Scotty's going to win this tournament by 8 strokes, and then we're going to be like, oh, okay, well, whatever. But at least until I see it with my own
it's
eyes.
It's like, okay, he is like, back.
Yeah. Like, at least until I see it with my own eyes, I do think that maybe they're a little bit closer right now as he kind of works through, you know, getting back in the swing of things and all that stuff like that. So I would probably lean that direction as well. I'm probably just let everyone, I'm probably playing Rory in one and done this week. It's an elevated event.
This is where you got to use one of the big dogs.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
It's an elevated event. You know, I'm probably going to pull the trigger on Rory here. And I'll burn a big bullet here early on. But here's the other thing about this is there's no Xander, right? So like I'm getting Rory in this field and he doesn't have to go through one of the big dogs, right? And so that's the other thing for me is like, all right, Rory's playing good right now. We know we've seen Rory play good in spurts and then not be able to keep it going, right? So it's like he's playing good now and one of the guys he has to go through isn't there, and Scotty's only 2 tournaments back. So it's kind of like, this is like the perfect storm, I think, to
and for there a one are spots and done down deal. The line for Scotty too, like Colonial or someplace like that. Maybe the Players, even though the Players has a lot of, you know, wackadoodle leaderboards that kind of go a little bit upside down, but there are certainly RBC Heritage. There are a lot of good spots for Scotty later in the spring.
I see Kelly's face going, I don't know who I'm playing for one. And I look at it.
Really thought about it, but you're right. Like, I mean, Rory more consistently rated out higher for me this week than Scottie Scheffler. So just to back up Wes's matchup point, both your matchup points with him, agree with, you know, I don't bet Rory all that often. I feel like Wes is maybe the biggest Rory bettor here of the three of us, but I don't even know if all three of us are that big a Rory bettor. So I'm just thinking about it. I mean, I'm not, you can't, despite us betting Ludvig, right? Or like, we're betting a bit of a drift on the price. I'm not sure. Maybe the runs aren't done yet with him, right? Maybe it is still an issue. So I can't trust that. And I don't really want to burn Morikawa yet. We haven't seen a whole lot of Morikawa yet. So I don't think I want to use him here.
He was the one I would use, though, as Morikawa, just because of what you said. I don't know, you know, where his form's going to be. It feels like this is a spot for him, though. West Coast, POA, has won in California before. So it feels like a spot for him, but you never know.
It will be one of those two for me. Morikawa or Rory. Yeah.
One thing I'll just point out, and Kelly, I know you know this, but for the people that are listening and not watching or whatever, anything like that. Like, so when we do these models, and this is not to say that Rory's not playing really, really great now. But like, so if you go back 24 rounds, like it's kind of like not all statistics are created equal, right? Because Scotty took some time off, whatever. And all of his rounds are going to be coming from PGA Tour events. And a lot of them are going to be coming from very big PGA Tour events. Whereas Rory did go over and play in Dubai and did go play a DP Tour event and played in Abu Dhabi. And it's not like those are like super weak fields, but they're definitely way weaker fields than what Scotty is playing and whatever and all that. And so like, it's a deal where, again, like if you go back last 24 rounds, last 36 rounds, it's going to include those tournaments for Rory that is like not going to be there in an, in a stat profile for Scotty.
That's why I've been doing.
So just something to think about, to start out
because some of the numbers. The 2025 versus 2024, because some of the guys like Morikawa, like he has really good numbers at the Century. Well, the Century was, you know, the easiest course on the PGA Tour at Kapalua. You do got to use that's why you got to give different context, I think, for these things.
Yeah, just I just wanted to point that out, as a lot of people might go like, well, if Rory's there, then why aren't you betting him? And it's like, well, I mean, you take at least a little bit, you know, he's still awesome. Rory's great. He's playing good. I'm just, but like, you take it a little bit with a grain of salt with all of that.
If Rory was double digits this week, I would have a bet on him. But he, but he ain't, so I don't really know what that is.
It's not because the goddamn guy had to win at Pebble Beach and ruin it for everybody.
I know, he ruined it for, seriously. Why couldn't he let Lowry win and then we could get him in this tournament for whatever and then we'd have a... I guess for me, the only guy that I will have remorse on as I look at my model here, Hideki's really high, but his odds aren't very long, so I don't guess I'd hate it if I missed out on Hideki, really. Like, that probably wouldn't...
Oh, if you guys catch long Victor tickets, I'll be pissed. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Or, like, I mean, I don't, if Sepp Straka is somehow in the mix, like, once again this week, it's just going to be, like, why aren't we sprinkling a few bucks on
that,
every
that's
single
the thing.
Week
like, these guys that have won early, it's like, can they continue it? Because they really hit high in, like, a lot of the stat models, and it's like, okay, they've won or they've been close. Can they continue it? Or, like, are they one-week wonders? Like, a guy that was high in my model this he's in such lousy form was like Davis Thompson, but I was like, wow, he's really high in a lot of my stats this week, but man, I'm seeing like 30s and 40s and 50s because I had that with Thigala on my card in Phoenix last week. I ignored the form, which I shouldn't have, because he played lousy at Phoenix. So it's like, I, you know, if he beat you, he beat you, but I need to see a little something more.
The biggest outlier in my model where I go, what in the holy hell is that, is 14th in one of the versions of my model was Lucas Glover, which I was like, that for what I put in is that was super important this week, considering he's like my distance off the tee. I was like, that's odd that he's as high as 14th.
But he's been flushing it with the irons, though, for like eight months straight now, man.
Him and Tom Hoagie, man, and Corey Connors, like those three guys I know always up there on approach. It's like they never have bad approach rounds, even if they're, whether they miss a cut or they're a contender.
So
I mean, and I'll just say, like, PSA for people that are starting to do some of the same stuff at home that we're doing every week, like that stuff threw me off at first when I first started, for sure. You're like, well, Tom Hoagie's up there in the top 10 like every week. He's got to be a bet. No. You're losing a lot of money betting Tom Hoagie every
week. That's where we start talking about win equity, right? With these guys and stuff, whenever you hear us talk about that here on the podcast. Guys, again, Wes's article over at VSiN.com for you VSiN Pro subscribers. If you're not yet, well, we're running some kind of special, I'm sure. So just go in and figure it out. I don't know. I hadn't been in yet, so I don't know. Maybe Kelly can tell you. Are we running a special, Kelly?
I'm like, let me check my live reads, bro. Keep talking, bro.
I was going to say, certainly we're running some sort of special. Well, anyway, you know what you get if you become a VSiN Pro subscriber. You not only get the video feeds for all the shows, but you can go into the picks page and you can see what everybody is playing as well. And there we go. Kelly figured it out.
Hey, sports betting never slows down, and neither should you. With the Daytona 500 coming this weekend, NBA and NHL in full swing, and the PGA Tour underway, and MLB season of March Madness right around the corner, there's no shorter of action to wager on. Start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription for as little as $9.99.
$9.99.
You'll get a daily email with all the praise from hosts, experts, guests, deep dive stats, and exclusive insights to help you make your the smartest picks possible. Don't place your bets unprepared. Get full access today for only $9.99. Visa.com/subscribe.
And with that discount, you could buy yourself some Sewell's barbecue sauce or any of the other fine companies.
Manny coming around. He's coming around. Turn number three. He's drafting off his teammate. I'll be damned if he ain't going to pass him on the inside right here. Turn number here. Turn to left. Round number two. Here you come right now. Oh, he's going to take two new tires. You got to take two new tires on this one right here.
I can't wait for my, me and Matt. I think I could speak for Matt on this. Yeah. Me and Matt Brown's new tradition of just waiting for like 100 laps into Daytona, wait for like three crashes and just start firing live.
Yeah.
And just hope that your guys survive at the end.
Watch it when there's five laps to go. And inevitably they do, of course, that green-white checkered because, you know, they can't end under yellow. You know, God forbid you do that and then half the field gets wadded up after each crash and it's who's left standing. So Daytona, by the way, just as an aside note, really hard to bet matchups.
Mm-hmm.
Bet you some long shots, bet you some outrights. This is the event where long shots can compete because it's pack racing. So we not only give you long shots on golf, we give you long shots in NASCAR.
I was going to say, should I screw with our audience big time and post this as a separate pod? Like, hey, Daytona 500 preview with the long shots group.
Kelly, let's get together on Sunday afternoon, and then we'll just sit there, and then we'll just fire live, like on the day. We're just going to be like, guys we never heard of, you know, whatever. And like, this guy's driving for Datsun. I didn't even like Datsun had a team. Like, what the
hell? You got these cars that are half tore up.
Yeah.
Dude, on the inside, like 100 laps down.
There's like duct tape. Yeah, there's like duct tape holding on a bumper or something. Like, just gotta cross the finish line for some money.
Oh, it's so good. All right, guys, appreciate it. If you haven't done so already, hit that subscribe button, rate, review. We do appreciate all that. Find us over on YouTube. Again, subscribe button down below as well. For Wes, for Kelly, I'm Matt. Good luck on all your bets.